My mistake, our book of Acts for chapter 13. We finished chapter 12 last Thursday. 13, chapter 1, verses 1 and following. Those that are still out there, if you can listen to us, simply call us at 856-261-9018 or give us an email, questions@vftbc.org. Say hello, give us a question if you have it, or just say hi if you can. All right, let's begin reading Acts 13, 1, 2, and 3 together. Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon, who was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them." When they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. Right, verse number 1, the church at Antioch. What do we know about Antioch that we learned last chapter? First of all, Christians. And so notice who were there, what classification?
Prophets
and
teachers.
This is a transitional book, isn't it, Acts? Is the office of prophet anymore with us today? No. Some churches teach that. They teach the prophets, but they're gone. But this is a transitional place, this book of Acts, and there were prophets and teachers. God had not given that up at this juncture between the law of Moses and the days of grace, this transitional book of Acts. And so they brought them up. All these people are named. Now, how many are named here altogether that were prophets or teachers?
Six.
Six? Everybody agree on six?
I did.
Five, so that's five. Okay, let's try again. Count them again.
Six. Maybe five. Barnabas.
I get five.
Five,
five is it? Okay. All right. So then we first
name them who they are. Name us.
Well, they start with Simeon, or Barnabas. So I start with Barnabas, yes. And then Simeon, yes. Then Lucius, then Man, and then Saul. Those are the five.
Yeah.
And then in verse number 2, as they ministered to the Lord. How do you do that? What does that mean?
So Herod wasn't one?
No, he was brought up with Herod the Tetrarch.
Oh,
so okay. The one that's brought up. In other words, apparently Manaen was brought up with Herod the Tetrarch.
Okay.
That was his territory where he lived. Apparently. All right, so in verse number 2, what does it mean to minister to the Lord?
To work for the Lord.
Work for the Lord, that's good. And so the Lord would be pleased. Not for the purpose of aggrandizement or egotism to us, but minister to the Lord, whatever the Lord wanted to do. Then the second thing they did was what in verse 2?
Fasted.
What does that mean?
Went without food.
All right, went without food. And this is one of the things that they did in the transitional time in the Old Testament as well as in this transitional book of Acts was fasting. Yes, ma'am?
I think fasting is more than just going without food. I think you pray and sort of have devotion.
Well, sometimes they did that, but the word fasting itself is to abstain from food. They abstain from food so they can give themselves to prayer. The prayer and fasting, that's sometimes to both together, as it says in other places. So they fasted. And then what happened in verse 2?
The Holy Ghost spoke to them.
Now, does that happen today, or is it a transitional? That's not. This is still a transitional book, and the Holy Spirit of God does not speak to us. How does God inform us what He wants us to do?
The Bible.
The Bible itself, the Word of God. But here, special transitional book, the Holy Spirit of God directed it. Just like in... Apparently, and talked to them in the Hebrew language, probably, which they understood very clearly. And now, I'm wondering, for instance, in the Old Testament, God told Moses to do this. He told Joshua to do this. Remember, he spoke to the Old Testament. It was a very strong communication, not in the age of grace, but this was a transitional book. And the Holy Spirit of God, what did He want them to do? What did He command them to do?
To go to Cyprus?
Well, first of all, verse 2.
To separate Barnabas and Saul.
Oh, separate me, Barnabas and Saul. Now, what does it mean to separate me?
Put them apart.
Put them aside. And Barnabas and Saul.
Why? Make them to a special ministry.
Special ministry. What was that ministry in that verse 2?
Missionary.
And what is it called here in verse 2? The work whereunto I have called. So apparently, God, the Holy Spirit, had a special calling for Paul and Barnabas to go to certain places. How many journeys did Paul have?
Three.
And the final
one.
One
always three.
What is it?
There was four.
Well, but the fourth one was what? Was a missionary journey, but what was that journey?
It's prison.
To prison ministry to Rome. And he was sent to Rome. So we had four different goings, but the three missionary journeys, one, two, and three. And the work that thou hast, so it was the Holy Spirit of God that called them and ordered them. Was that just a suggestion?
No,
it was a command. Well, separate me. Barnabas was all two people. Now, Barnabas was the nephew or relative of whom?
John Mark.
That was his nephew, was it? John Mark?
Yes.
And Barnabas was the uncle, wasn't it? All right. And Barnabas, in Hebrew, of two different words, means what?
Consolation.
Well, that's true. And that's right. The first bar is son, and Abbas is consolation. That's Pastor Dan says, son of consolation. But the bar is the son and Abbas. Oh, yes, Bob.
Notice it didn't say separate me, Paul, Barnabas, and Mark. It just said Barnabas and Saul.
Just those two. The work where I have called them. Now, let me ask you that.
And everybody is always talking down John Mark.
Mm-hmm.
But God never specified that John Mark was supposed to go on this journey. So perhaps it was a good thing that he went home.
Yes, you're right. He was not called. He was not separated by the Holy Spirit. Just these two. The uncle Barnabas was, and Saul, otherwise known later as Paul.
What did you say Barnabas' name?
Bar is son in Hebrew. Bar or Ben. Either that or Bar or Ben. And Abbas, as Pastor Dan said, consolation. Son of consolation. That's just that word. So, all those things, like Benjamin, Ben his son, and Yamin his right hand, the son of my right hand. That's it. It's just the Hebrew Ben or Bar, his son, and then whatever the rest of it is to go along with it. So, questions at bftbc.org or 856-261-9018. Give us a call or comment. Glad to hear from you. And tell me, those who are listening, if you still can listen, is the video been restored? Please give us a call. Let us know. Pastor Dan, I think restored it, but I just want to see if everybody's able to hear us. We hope that's the case. Yes, sir.
It's possible that John Mark wasn't ready. He wasn't mature enough.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm afraid when I say real young couples, right out of Bible school, are going to the mission field.
Mm-hmm.
And I say, I know for a fact that missionaries need to have some time.
Yes.
To be seasoned, to get mature, and to be ready to go out.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm fearful when I say real young couples, you know, going out right away.
Uh-huh.
They're not prepared.
Important, yes.
Hello.
Hey, Pastor,
we got the video and the audio on now. It was down, but it came on just before you started the Bible study.
Oh, very good. So the audio and video are on, okay? Good,
yeah,
thank you.
Yeah, yeah.
Perfect. Yes, Jim.
I have a question. I heard a former pastor of mine, he made a statement. He said that anyone who knows anything about the Bible, I think he's wrong. He said the Greek in the New Testament was a translation of Hebrew. What is it? Does that mean? I understand your thing. You say that God breathed out Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek.
That's right. Let me answer that off camera, off the telephone. Thank you, Jim. That's a good question. Let's wave to Jim Canale in Massachusetts. He's informed us that the sound, the picture coming through Pastor Dan was successful in reconnecting. Very good. As far as the New Testament Greek being a translation from Hebrew, some people hold that. We don't believe that at all. They say the original New Testament was written in Hebrew, translated to Greek. False, false, false.
Mm-hmm.
The thing about it is, if that were the case, we'd have thousands of Hebrew manuscripts. We don't. Very few Hebrew New Testaments. Greek, 5,500. See, that's the thing that God wrote. That's the thing that God preserved. Because Hebrew is very general. The Hebrew language doesn't have the specific things that Greek has. Greek has all different ways of making thinking very, very clear. But Hebrew has got a perfect tense and imperfect tense. Perfect tense, two or three meanings. Imperfect tense, two or three meanings. The Greek it's got present and imperfect, aorist and pluperfect, regular perfect, all kinds of specific details. So, Jim, that's wrong, and I agreed with you when you said that's not right at all. It's not written in the New Testament of Hebrew, but it was in the Greek language. Yes, Bob?
I think you said we have very few Hebrew Testaments.
Yes, that's right. Very few Hebrew originals. New Testaments in Hebrew, so Hebrew manuscripts.
I didn't know they ever put the New Testament in Hebrew.
Well, they have a few now currently. For instance, there's a place in Greenville, South Carolina that has the whole New Testament in Hebrew, but they've translated from the Greek into the Hebrew. But the original Hebrew and New Testament is false. Yeah, Tammy.
Greetings to all our BFT family and friends. We are enjoying tonight's Bible study. The video and audio are fine. In Christ, Lori and Dan Agee.
Let's wave to Lori and Dan Agee in Texas. Lori and Dan, we'll see you at the DBS, Lord willing, in Garland, Texas, July 22 and 23. Very good. Now, let me ask you this question. Oh, go ahead, Vanya. You have a question?
Dear Pastor Waite, hello to everyone. Streaming is now coming through. It's Bible study from Joe and Norma Fascio.
Good, let's wave to Joe and Norma, way over in California, way over there. Thank you, Joe and Norma. Appreciate it. Let me ask you a question. The work in verse 2, whereunto I have called them. Does every person, whether missionary or pastor, always, are they genuinely called to the Lord? To go? Are all the missionaries and all the pastors necessarily called to the Lord to go?
Hopefully.
Hopefully, but should they be called to the Lord?
They should be.
Sometimes do they not call the Lord?
They're supposed to be called. They should.
Called by their mother, called by their own desires? Don't they?
Well, every Christian has a calling, but it's not necessarily to be a missionary or pastor.
Yeah, that's true. So, in other words, first thing is, if a person is going to be ordained to the gospel ministry, the three things we always ask them. Number one, what is your conversion? Are you genuinely saved? Number two, do you have a genuine call to the ministry? Call to the ministry. And the third, what is your doctrine? What do you believe about the Bible? See, those three things. If they don't have a call to the ministry, don't ordain them. They're not called. And I don't know, there's so many people that are just casual. They don't seem like they've been called by anybody. They just talk, just like a normal person, see? There's no calling of God, but the work unto I have called them. And they fasted and prayed. And then in verse 3, they prayed also, didn't they? Not simply fasted. They prayed and fasted. What did they do in verse 3?
Laid their hands.
Now what does that indicate?
Commissioning.
That means that they sent them forth and they agree with them that they have sent them forth. That's why we lay hands on, if they're deacons, for instance, local church, usually, we lay hands on to commission them. Pastors that are called to the ministry, lay hands on them. It's a figure to show that we are for them and we send them forth. Laid hands on them. Then what they do after the hands were laid on?
Sent them away.
Right to where God had called them to the work. Let's read verse 4, 5, and 6 together. So they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed into Seleucia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus. And when they were at Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews, and they had also John to their minister. And when they had gone through the isle to the Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew, whose name was Bar Jesus. All right, in verse 4. Again, who are they sent forth by?
The Holy Ghost.
The Holy Spirit of God sent forth. Then they did depart. Where did they go first?
Seleucia.
Where did they go second?
Cyprus. Where's Seleucia?
What?
Where's Seleucia?
We don't have a map, so it's just a couple of the areas. We'll get that in 2 weeks from now. We'll have our maps back if we can find them where we hid them. See? All right. But their areas.
Aren't they right there? No, that's a screen.
We gave Pastor Dan, 46 weeks of
the
feast.
Curtain.
Yeah.
He is the curtain.
So, it's curtains for the map. All right. So, they went forth to Seleucia, then Cyprus, and then where else did they go in verse 5? Where else did they go?
Salamis.
What'd they do there?
Preach the word.
Where'd they preach it?
The synagogues of the Jews.
What it says, they preached the word of God. Did they just have one verse and then they went off a million other things, you think? But how do you think they preached the word?
Because it was verse by verse.
They probably verse by verse. And Old Testament, New Testament. They preached the Old Testament. They preached all the words that they had. Now, at this time, 41 A.D., 42 A.D., there may have had a few written letters, hadn't been collected together, but whatever they had, they preached the scriptures to them in the synagogue of the Jews. That's where they went first. And then in verse 5, who was with them there?
John.
Which John was this? John the Baptist? Apostle John?
John Mark.
John Mark.
John Mark was with us.
Well, that's John Mark.
Now, that's the. What was his relation to Barnabas?
Nephew.
Maybe Barnabas wrote him a letter or did some way to tell him to come on with me. I don't know how he got there, how he even found out that that's where they were.
Maybe he promised his sister he'd take care of him.
Maybe. Maybe he promised his sister something. But anyway. So they had to their minister. What does minister mean?
A helper.
Was the servant.
Helper and servant.
Yeah,
that's right.
Minister to them.
That's right. And then in verse 6, where did they go now?
Paphos.
Isle of Paphos. And who did they find at Paphos?
Sorcerer.
Okay, what kind of a person was he?
Sorcerer.
What does sorcerer mean?
Sort of a witch.
Sort of a witch.
Witch man.
Connected with the devil, with Satan, right?
Yeah.
Sorcerer. What's another name for him?
No,
it's another classification. False prophet. What is a false prophet?
Not a true one.
That's right. In other words, he pretends to be a prophet, but he tells lies. In the Old Testament, what was the indication of whether you could tell whether a prophet was true or false?
Whether it came to pass.
If it came to pass, it was true. If it didn't come to pass, false. Mm-hmm. So this was a false prophet. Do we have any false prophets today?
Yes.
We have a whole lot of them, don't we? Do we have any false preachers today?
Yes.
We certainly have false preachers and false teachers. It's a sad thing. And on what the world considers to be Ishtar, or Easter, coming up Sunday, there'll be all kinds of falseness being said from the pulpits. All kinds of shades. There was, tomorrow there's going to be falseness. Good Friday, when the Lord was crucified on a Wednesday, see? And the whole idea, the whole thing, and the resurrection of Christ, just spiritually, not as bodily. All these false teachings about Christ. And then the young book teaches ascension into heaven, seat of the Father's right hand. There's so many things. But he was a false prophet. Now let me ask you this. Are people following false prophets today?
Yes.
Why do they follow false prophets?
I don't know.
Because they don't know the word.
They don't know the word.
They come as
brainwashed.
They come as light, brainwashed.
They trust the pastor or the preacher.
Whatever it is.
It sounds good.
What is the measure of what is a true prophet and a false prophet? What's the measure, the standard?
The word of God.
The word of God, the scriptures. They speak not according to the word of God, that's false. What did Paul say about another gospel? Remember where he said that in the book of Galatians?
Let him be accursed.
Let him be accursed. Anybody bring any other gospel that I preach to you? A false gospel. I heard that someone sent me an email. Brother Dave Knaus. He sent me a lot of emails. One of them we sent today was a man preaching on John 3:16. He wanted me to listen to that man and see what I thought about how he phrased it. For God so loved the world. He's a hyper-Calvinist. Doesn't believe that he loved the whole world, just the elect. But the point of it is, he stressed that soul. Got to get that soul in there. Soul love. See, in other words, trying to twist it, so it's only the elect that he sold. But strange, false prophet, but he's got a great following. Great following. And Brother Dave now asked me what I thought of it. I said, that's a heresy. It's so crystal clear that God loved the whole world.
Absolutely.
Saved, unsaved, everybody. Elect, non-elect, everybody. There's no such thing as just a few. So there he sailed to Cyprus, and they preached the word at the synagogue of Jews, and there was John to be the minister. Then in verse number 6, where did they go next?
Paphos.
Oh yeah, we've already been there, and we found this false prophet. Yes, he was a Jew, wasn't he? Are there Jewish false prophets today?
Yeah.
Yes, and there are Gentile false prophets too?
Yeah.
Yes, that's right. And his name was what?
Jesus.
And what did we say, bar man in Hebrew?
Son.
And Jesus, the son of Jesus. See? Bar or Ben? See, Ben, Yamin, son of the right hand, bar. of us, so like God says, or Bar Jesus, the son of Jesus. So, false prophet whose name had the word Jesus in it, maybe that gave him a little bit more
credibility
and prestige. But does that make a false prophet a true prophet just because of his name?
No.
Yes, Mom?
Wasn't Jesus a common name?
Yes, yes. Even today, in the Spanish-speaking word, Jesus, they say that all the time. It's a lot of the name. This name here, special name for the Lord Jesus Christ, is still false. And no matter what it is. Now, a lot of people, just because of Friends of the Royal Catholic Church, a lot of people, they have saint this. Does that make them a true prophet?
Mm-hmm.
No, not at all.
Doesn't make them a Christian.
Doesn't even make them a Christian, does it? Just because they use the word saint. Questions at bftc.org or 856-261-9018. Give us a call or comment. Glad to hear from you. Thank you for those that called earlier. Appreciate that. And we're glad that the stream is working, sound and sight, both. Well, let's read verse number 7, 8, and 9 together. Which was with the deputy in the country, Sergius Paulus, a prudent man, who called for Barnabas and Saul, and desired to hear the word of God. But Elymas, the sorcerer, for so is his name by interpretation, was stood there, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. Then Saul, who also was called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him. All right, verse number 7. With the deputy of the country, what was his name? Sergius Paulus. What was true about him?
He was prudent.
What does that mean, prudent?
Wise.
And he was called, what did he call? Who did he call for?
Barnabas and Saul.
Why do you suppose he called for these two men?
He wanted to hear the word of God.
He desired, isn't that wonderful, to hear. Does everybody desire to hear the word of God these days?
Yeah.
No, they don't. It's a sad thing, isn't it? I was talking to a young man today. His name is Cody. On the telephone, we talked at length. He's trying to witness to a friend of his who was an atheist. Tried to tell him about the Lord and tried to reason with him here and reason with there. And I said, well, Cody, I said, you can reason all you want, but until he opens his heart by faith, the reason doesn't do it. It had the logic. But he didn't want to hear the word of God. But this man, prudent, wise, called for them, especially desired to hear the word of God. By reputation, he knew Barnabas and Saul knew the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. They knew he knew the word of God. They called. Then in verse 8, what's this word but mean here?
Just contrast.
Contrast. It's an opposite thing. What was the contrast here in verse number 8?
The sorcerer.
What's his name?
Elymas.
All right, Elymas. Sorcerer. Again, what does that mean?
He was like a witch.
Who's another? Like a witch. It was satanic. I just saw an email this morning that said that for the first time in one of the state's legislatures, they're having a Wicca woman lead in prayer.
Oh.
Can you imagine that? A devil woman lead in prayer.
A
devil woman. Wicca the witch.
Oh, okay.
Wicca, see. Strange. Yes, Danny.
Is this the same person as Bar Jesus? I mean, is this...
Well...
Is this for so is his name by interpretation?
Yes. Well, it seems like there are two of them, doesn't it? The Bar Jesus is a sorcerer. The Limus, the sorcerer. See, now, what city were they in here in verse 7?
Paphos,
and that's exactly where Christ Jesus was, wasn't it? Could be, but it seems the way it's written that it seems like almost a second one, but it could be the same.
Mm-hmm.
Well, sorcerers, one connected with the devil, named by interpretations, is a sorcerer. Mm-hmm. What was true of him?
Elymas. I've heard of him. Elymas was his name by interpretation.
Yeah, Elymas was his name by interpretation.
Interpreting Bar Jesus.
Oh, I see what you mean. So maybe
Bar Jesus. Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
It could be, Anna. It could be. Interpretation of Bar Jesus was Elymas, or sorcerer. And what did he do, this Elymas?
He tried to turn away.
Withstood means what?
Stood up against him.
Didn't like him. And what was his goal, his motive? is
keep the deputy church's powers away from faith.
Church's powers away from the faith. Now, the faith with the article would imply what?
The truth.
The faith, the truth.
Body's scriptures.
It's the body of doctrine, the scriptures, the words of God, the different doctors. Now, why would anybody want to turn somebody away from the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ?
Because they don't agree with it.
They don't agree with it? But do people today want to do that?
Yes.
They were inspired by the devil.
Inspired by the devil. Just today, when people came in to kill several hundred of the Christians, when the ISIS people came in, I forget the country, they said, are you a Christian? Are you a Muslim? All those were Christians, they killed. They hate them, see, they don't agree, so they slaughter. And so this, they didn't slaughter them, but they sought to turn them away from the faith. It's amazing, isn't it, that Sergius Paulus desired to hear the Word of God. That's a tremendous desire, isn't it? And I hope every one of us desires to hear the Word of God, the Scriptures, day by day, moment by moment. Yes, Joanne?
Because we can only either belong to Jesus or we belong to the devil.
That's right.
There's no other...
No middle ground, is there?
Right.
No middle ground, you're right. And we've got to decide which one we want to be on. People have to decide that. And there's only two destinies.
Heaven or hell.
Heaven or hell. There's no middle ground, even though the Catholics used to believe what they still do.
They still do it.
Well, sometimes they try to trash that. I have different ways to interpret things, but there's no middle ground. But it's very financially prosperous to say there's a purgatory, to get people to pay to get their people out of purgatory, right, even though it doesn't exist. How do they know for sure after they give $1,000, $2,000, $1,000, $2 million, $1 billion, that soul is released from purgatory? How do you know that? How are you going to prove that? Let's see.
Not by works of righteousness which we have done.
That's right. And nobody can go to heaven through just the Roman Catholic Church and all their system except through the genuine faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, personal trusting in Him. But he didn't want to have this man to have the faith. He wanted to turn him away. And then in verse 9, what did Saul, who's called Paul here, do in this state? First of all, what was his motivation? What was his preparation?
The Holy Spirit of God.
Filled with the Spirit of God. What does it mean to be filled with the Spirit of God?
Controlled.
Controlled with the Spirit of God. Now, Paul was filled with the Spirit of God. Can Christians today also be filled with the Spirit of God?
Yes.
Yes, they can. It says very clearly in Galatians chapter 5, 22 and 23. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, and so control. So now notice in verse number 9, what first did Paul do? Oh, excuse me, Anna, go ahead.
I think this is relevant that this is the first time he's called Paul.
Yes.
Because he's standing up against falsehood.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like a defining moment for him.
That's right.
And he's, so
first time.
Now he's called Paul.
That's good. First time he's called Paul. And Bruce also is called Paul. So what's the first thing after he was filled with the Holy Spirit that he did in verse number 9?
Why
did he suppose he looked at it? Why did he spoke?
Drive out the
also? What else? Now let me ask you this. If I'm going over here looking to my left, do you know for sure I'm talking to you?
No.
Paul wanted to be sure. Now I'm not talking about the guy next to you, but the one to the left or to your right. I'm talking right to you. Set his eyes on it. Fix right on him. See?
He didn't just look at him. He looked at him with scorn.
Very strongly. And some people would say he wasn't filled with the Holy Spirit because of what he said. But let's just remember this.
Yeah.
Let's look what he says here. Look at verse number. What did he say in verse number? Did we read 10? We didn't read 10.
Yet.
Let's read 10, 11, and 12. and said, O fool of all subtlety and all mischief, but child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? And now, behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thee, and thou shalt be blind, not seeing the sun for a season. And immediately there fell on him a mist and a darkness, and he went about seeking some to lead him by the hand. Then the deputy, when he saw what was done, believed, being astonished at the doctrine of the Lord. Right, verse 10. What did Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit of God, setting his eyes on him, what's the first thing he said? What was his analysis of this man?
Child of the devil.
And before that even?
Full of all subtlety.
What does subtlety mean?
Trickery.
Trickery, careful, deceit, trickery, full of all of it. What else is he full of?
Mischief.
What is mischief?
All kinds of evil.
Evil and trickery and chicanery. Then what did he call him?
Child of the devil.
See now, is this politically correct today to call people the child of the devil? Mm-hmm. Not politically correct, but is it true if they're lost?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. There's only two fathers, as you said, Joanne. Either father, God's the father, or the devil's father.
Right.
Child of the devil. What else did he call him?
Enemy of righteousness.
Enemy of all righteousness. And then he asked a question. What was his question?
Are you going to stop doing what you're doing to pervert the things of the Lord?
Stop perverting the right ways of the Lord. In other words, he was strong, wasn't he? Mm-hmm. Now, what are the fruit of the Spirit? Let's go through those. Is it seven?
Nine.
All right, let's go through them. Fruit of the Spirit is love,
joy,
peace, long-suffering,
gentleness,
goodness,
faith,
meekness, temperance. Against us there's no law. There's none. Now, which of these is the characteristic of Paul in action against the devil?
Good long-suffering.
That's right. Tammy got it. Goodness.
Oh,
good. Agathosune. Agathosune in the Greek, strong, recuperation, strong opposition to anything that's evil. A lot of people think, well, if you're strong against evil, you're not filled with the Holy Spirit. Paul was filled with the Holy Spirit and is strong against evil. Lord Jesus was filled with the Holy Spirit where he threw away the money changers. The table, see? Righteous indignation. Agathosune. A lot of people don't see that in goodness, but the Greek word is very, very clear. Strong opposition to evil of all kinds. And so, Paul was very strong. Was he not? Child of the devil. And then notice in verse 11, what did he say about the next thing?
Now watch what the Lord's going to do.
The hand of the Lord is upon me.
What is he going to do?
Judgment is upon me.
What's going to happen?
He's going to be blind.
Not seeing the sun for a season. And what happened then in verse 11?
There was a mist that came upon him.
A mist, darkness. And what did he go around doing what?
He needed some help
getting
around.
Leading. Now, this is a miracle, but Paul, through the Holy Spirit, again, miracles, the transitional book, but do miracles like this, can we perform miracles today? No? The charismatics and all these people on television, they say all these miracles, so that, but the devil has lots of false miracles. Mm-hmm. There's false miracles, just like the book of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, the lying wonders. They're wonders, but they're lying, not true. But here, a transitional book, this was a genuine miracle wrought by the Spirit of God through the Apostle Paul. He said, you're going to be blind, and he was blind.
That's right. He wanted him to know that the Lord was doing it, that
yes,
he wasn't doing
that's
it.
That's right.
The Lord was doing it.
That's good. That's good, John. Yes, the Lord. Mm-hmm. We'll see that. That's right. The Lord is upon me. I shall be blind. The hand of the Lord. And so then, you didn't read 12 yet, did we? Let's read 12, 13, and 14.
I think we did, didn't we?
Yeah, we read 12.
Oh, we read 12. Okay. The deputy. Who's the deputy?
That's Sergius Paulus.
Sergius Paulus. What happened to him?
He saw what happened.
He saw what happened? Yeah. What did happen? What did he see?
He saw him becoming blinded.
That's right. The miracle was there. He saw Paul very aggravated, very strong against the child of the devil. And he could see everything that Paul said about the gospel he believed. It was true. What was it being astonished? What's that mean?
Surprised.
Overwhelmed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What was he surprised about? Well, excuse me, Anna. What did he say?
astonished. It's like it's turning to stone.
Turning to stone?
Like,
astonished?
Like your
astonished.
Face, like,
astonished.
They're like...
frozen, the face frozen. Frozen face. But what was the astonished at? In this verse.
What happened?
What happened? At the doctrine and the teachings of it. See, Paul did teach him strongly about the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm sure told him the gospel, what the Lord has done for them, dying for his sins, trusting, receiving by faith. And he paused a while, the deputy, because this Bar-Jesus was trying to turn him away, but when he saw the hand of God upon this and the miracle, the blindness, he believed and the Lord was saved, born again. So sometimes, even in difficulty, people can be saved. Now, we don't have a lot of difficulty like this, but miracles and other things will turn people to the Lord. And so he was astonished at the doctrine and believed, being astonished. All right, we're going to stop here, but let's read 13, 14, 15, just as a background if we can. Now, when Paul and his company, loose from Paphos, came to Perga and Pamphylia, and John, departing from them, returned to Jerusalem. But when they departed from Perga, they came to Antioch and Pisidia, and went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and sat down. And after the reading of the law and the prophets, the rulers of the synagogue sent unto them, saying, Ye men and brethren, do ye have by any word or exclamation of the people, say I. I will pick this up, Lord willing, next Thursday, beginning of verse 13, but do you have any other comments or questions before we close?
No.
All right, let's close with a word of prayer. Our Father, we do thank thee for the power of thy Holy Spirit in Paul, the obedience of Paul and Barnabas, sending forth by thee, by the Holy Spirit, departing from their people, from the softness of their life, relative softness into the mission field. And they went. And Lord, help us to do what thou dost want us to do as believers, those of us who are genuinely saved. Thank thee for the powerful preaching of Paul. Thank thee for this deputy wanting to hear the word of God. And Paul told him the doctrines of the faith. And then he stood up against this terrible sorcerer, this Bar-Jesus or Elymas, whatever his name was, and withstood him strongly. And he was blinded. The miracle that thou dost performed through Paul by thee. We thank thee, Lord, for this power. Help us. Be strong in the faith. Be with Pastor Dan tomorrow as he has this class from 3 to 4:30. May bring many out. And we ask thee, Lord, for our Lord's Day coming up. May thy word be upon us and through us. May it be a blessing. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Thank you for coming.
Okay.